T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Living Better in San Diego, a public service presentation of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. I'm Gary Lee. Noah Homes has become a model of best practices for supporting people with disabilities and their families. They are dedicated to providing residential services and care, opportunities, and independence in living for adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Joining us this morning is Noah Homes CEO, Molly Novkov. Welcome, Molly.
Thanks, Gary. Great being here today.
Great to have you on the show. Good to see you again. It's been a few years since you've been on, so I'm glad
it has been. I haven't changed, right?
Yeah, no. Still look great.
Good, awesome.
And thanks for coming out. Tell us a little bit about Noah Homes. We're going to dig deep into what it is that you do there, but how about a little background information on Noah Homes?
Noah Homes is an amazing place in East County, and we have the pleasure of taking care of 90 adults with developmental disabilities that range from autism, Down syndrome, Fragile X, all sorts of things that people need help in being assisted with in their daily living. And we have about 130 staff that support these folks in their daily living and help them be independent. They go out and have jobs. They volunteer. They have day programs. And they're just amazing people in the community that I get the beauty of being able to support every day that I go to work.
And what is the mission at Noah Homes?
The mission of Noah Homes is to maximize people's lifelong independence, to live in a social community model. We foster dignity and respect. We also help them in their spiritual and personal growth. And we're there to make sure that they just have an amazing time every time they're out in the community and when they're home with us.
And you're located where?
We're in Spring Valley, right? Yep, about 20 minutes outside of downtown San Diego.
Okay, now you were on the show a few years ago. And Noah Homes, how long has it been around now?
Noah Homes is now in its 36th year.
36 years. Mm-hmm. How has Noah Homes changed in all those years?
So anybody who was out in East County and knows where Steel Canyon High School is, there was a big alfalfa farm right next to it. And we took it over. And the founder and some parents had this amazing vision to make it a social community model. They started with one home, 6 residents, and 6 staff. 36 years later, we're at 10 homes. About 130 staff, 90 residents, 23 vehicles, and we are out in the community every day supporting them in their daily pursuits of life.
And how long have you been with Noah Homes?
I have been with Noah Homes as a CEO this is my 11th year, but I was there as a family member for 14 prior to that.
A family member?
Yeah. My brother Herbie was known as the Sheriff of Noah, lived very happily there in his social life with his friends. He was an extremely social guy and loved being out there because he could hang out at anybody's house and get an invitation for dinner. And he was obsessed with being a sheriff, so we were very safe out there while he was there.
That's great. And then you became CEO?
And I became CEO as the founder left, and unfortunately got to watch my brother move into shades of Alzheimer's. But the good thing about him is he became my reason and my model of why we had to make sure we could take care of these folks as they moved into other diseases and other things and aging.
How many people live out there at Noah Homes?
Right now we have 90. They live in 10 homes. They vary in size from, say, 6 residents up to 10. And they're all very independent. All the homes function independently, and they work as family units.
Now, I did tour Noah Homes mm-hmm. last time you were on the show. Uh-huh. After you were on, I went out there for a tour, and a beautiful place you have out there. Really, really nice.
It makes it very easy to go to work and support these individuals, and they make a smile every day we're there.
Yeah, that's for sure. I did notice that. Now, is there a waiting list to get into Noah Homes?
There is. Unfortunately, we have what we call an interest list of more than 150 individuals, and we call it that because you might be on the waiting list 6 months, you might be on it 6 years, but we have to find the right match, the right room, the right family unit to make sure we can support your needs.
So when you put people in, when you place them into a room or into a home there, mm-hmm. you match them with other people? Or do they have their own room?
We do. We have a combination. Some have their own room, some share a room. They might do a respite for, say, 2 or 3 months. We have to make sure we can meet their needs. They have to be sure they like the other folks in the house. The other folks have to like them. They need to be able to support each other in what they're doing. So it may be 3 or 4 weekends of coming in and just getting to know each other and making sure that everybody's happy. Because once you're there, we never want you to leave.
So what is the age group of the people at Noah Homes?
We are able to take them as early as age 18. And our oldest will be celebrating his 70th birthday this coming weekend. And we're going to have a big animals party and a huge celebration because this young man shouldn't have been here for the last 30 years.
A big animals party?
big animals. It's a big group that comes out in those big animal costumes and interacts with the residents and dances and does all sorts of great stuff. So we have a big animal party to celebrate.
Well, that's great. Now, when you talk about it, it is the folks that you serve have intellectual and developmental disabilities. What falls under that umbrella as far as you are concerned at NOAA Homes?
We take a wide variety of individuals with developmental intellectual disabilities, and it's really also managed by San Diego Regional Center because California is an entitlement state. So anybody with a disability that falls under those particular umbrellas of Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, autism, Fragile X, are entitled to care. And so NOAA Homes is one of those places that can give you that care. And if we can meet your needs and we can serve what you need to be independent, then we're the place to be. And we would love to have you there, but it's unfortunately not big enough for the needs that are out there.
Okay, so San Diego Regional Center, is that the only way people can get into NOAA Homes? Can they self-refer, or are they only referred by San Diego Regional Center?
They can certainly come out and see us, and we love to have people come out and see us early. We have parents that bring their children as young as age 10, because unfortunately getting to age 18 happens rather quickly. So we like you to get to know us and get to know the people at NOAA, so as you start aging, it can become apparent to us and to you whether that child might be a good fit. And you are most likely already a client of Regional Center because you're having services. So our Regional Center is our referral source, but the majority of people on our waiting list have found us either through the internet, through word of mouth, through our activities. So we have a very active and dynamic waiting list.
Wow, how many people on the waiting list?
Over 150. It's not something we're proud of. As an organization and as a state, we should be able to serve those folks a lot faster than we are right now. But resources are slim and reimbursements from the state are slim, unfortunately.
Do you know how many people in California have developmental disabilities or intellectual disabilities?
Right now, the number is right around 340,000 in the whole state. San Diego is the second largest regional center, and that regional center serves San Diego and Imperial County, and there are over 30,000 just in San Diego, and that is more than 21 states combined in the country. So we serve a very large spectrum of people here in San Diego.
I guess then that's why you have so many people on the waiting list. There's not enough facilities, not enough places for them?
There are places, but there aren't always the right places. And when you're a parent and you want the best for your child, you're not going to settle for a place that may not meet all the needs. And unfortunately, because of how difficult it is to find housing for all of us in California, trying to find it as a person with a disability on a very fixed budget, it's becoming more and more difficult. And so a lot of these folks are still living at home with their families because they really don't have a choice.
And then what happens when the family that's taking care of them get to the point where they can't take care of them anymore?
You know, that is a horrible commentary. And unfortunately, there's about, I think the number right now in San Diego, there's about 10,000 that are over the age of 40 in San Diego. And that means their caregivers are in their 60s, possibly their 70s. Mm-hmm. And you can imagine with the baby boomers, all of us coming up, they're coming right up with us. And we are facing a housing crisis. There's no doubt about it. And we're doing what we can, but it's not fast enough. And it's not enough to take care of those who need it.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem.
It's going to be a big problem. And we've been addressing it ever since we talked to you about the memory care homes several years ago, and we're still talking about it. But now it's just not memory care. It's care in general because of the housing shortage in California.
Right. Now, you use at NOAA Homes what's known as the Affinity Choice Community Model. Tell us about that.
So the Affinity Choice Community Model is a model that is around the country in various shapes, but what it really means for us is that we've chosen to let individuals make their own choices on where they want to live. Like you and I can go to a 55 plus whenever we feel like it and play tennis and play golf. Residents that live with NOAA could not do that because they are being told where they can and can't get services. So our Affinity Choice Community Model says anybody with a disability has the choice and the right to live where they choose to live, whether it's an inclusive community, whether it's their own community. They want to live with their friends, and they may want to live with the general community, but it's their choice. So our Affinity Choice Community Model happens to be a model of people with disabilities that are out in the community every day. They either have a job, they go to a day program, they volunteer. They're very active community members. They're very civic-minded. But then they get to come back to their own type. They get to come back to their folks that they've lived with and their friends for 25, 30 years. We still have two of our original residents from 36 years ago that live with us. And so it's not because we're forcing them to live with us. It's they've made their choice to live with their friends. So we want to see that happen around the country. If people choose to live with their friends, then let them live with their friends. And if they choose to live at home, that's great too. But there's got to be lots of choices because this crisis is just going to keep coming.
So people that live at NOAA Homes, they can stay there as long as they want.
Yes. as long as we can meet their needs, and we can meet sometimes medical needs might get the best of us because we're not medically licensed. We're residentially licensed. So we're residentially licensed to manage homes. But I can tell you in the 11 years I've been there, there's been two that have left because of medical needs. It's a very small piece that ever leave us because we can't meet their needs.
And I did notice that when I was out there. And again, not only did I go out for a tour, but I've been at a couple of your events. Mm-hmm. And I have noticed the family unit that's there.
We pride ourselves on that, and one of the reasons we have our fundraising events at NOAA is we want you to meet our residents. We want you to see who they are. We want you to shake their hand. If you're adverse to hugs, please don't come out. You're going to be really upset because everybody gets a hug. They're amazing people. There's even studies to why people with disabilities, especially Down syndrome, why are they always so happy? They're just happy people, and there's actually been some talk of doing a study on what's causing them to be so happy. They just don't have negative thoughts. It's very, very rare to see a person with Down syndrome in a bad mood. I can attest that with my brother. I was in bad moods a lot more than he was.
Yeah. And they do at your events. They're working at those events, too.
They're working the events. They volunteer. Our newest event that we just launched, our Enchanted Village, this past Christmas, we were able to employ four of our own residents. And when you look at the fact that people with disabilities are over 66% unemployed in this country, it's pretty sad that a nonprofit has to create ways to employ the people we take care of. But if it's not going to get done within the community, we're going to have to do it. So we are thrilled to employ people to help us check people in and help us run the event. And they volunteered with us as well, and they were thrilled. They loved it. They loved welcoming people to their community, to welcome them to see where they lived and what their homes were like. I mean, pretty amazing to have that happen and have the community say, oh, that's who you guys are. Oh, that's what it looks like. So it was really a great opportunity to engage the community.
So when you say employ, are they getting paid?
They got paid. They had a paycheck. They had to sign in and sign out and got to take their breaks, and they let us know what they needed to do and had a training session. They trained for a couple weeks to train for their jobs, and so we're hoping that those folks will now train a couple more to join us this coming year.
And then they get to go out and spend that money?
Get to go out and spend that money. One of them said, I'm getting myself some new shoes. I'm getting a new video. I'm going out to dinner. I said, whatever you want, you do it. That's awesome.
And then you have transportation that takes them places, right?
We do. We have a fleet of 23 vehicles now, I think, a bus. And everybody who lives at NOAA has an understanding that they're either at a job, they're at a volunteer program. So we take them out to their jobs, to their day programs, anywhere between 7 and 9 in the morning, and we go out and pick them up between 2 and 4 in the afternoon. And then they're back at their own community in their own homes, and if they don't happen to like what they have on the menu at their house, they might run next door and see what their friend's house is having and finagle an invitation, and all of a sudden they're having dinner at their friend's house. So they're very independent people, and they get to do what they want when they want, and if they want to do something, they let us know, and we try to make it happen for them.
So they have to have something. They can't just hang out at NOAA Homes all day.
They can't. Some would love to do that, but we want them engaged in the community. They're young. They're vibrant. Now, we do have some that are retired. We certainly have some that are retired and, unfortunately, some that are kind of homebound because of our memory issues and the dementia issues. So we are certainly making accommodations for that. But if you're able and engaged, you need to be out there in that community helping, being a good citizen, volunteering. Maybe a quarter of our residents still have jobs in the community, so we're excited about that, earning a paycheck. We try to do that to try to help them in that as often as we can.
Do you help them find jobs?
We help them on a very limited basis, but they have job coaches through their day programs and through Regional Center, and that's really their job, is to help them find jobs. But if we find something in the community, we grab onto that and get them over there to get them into an interview. So we'll help as much as we can.
Now, the Affinity Choice community model, was this developed at NOAA Homes? You did say that there are others similar to it around the country.
There are other communities that call themselves Affinity Choice, and we decided that when the government mentioned they wanted to define what Affinity Choice meant for people with disabilities, we said, no, I think that's something that we as providers need to help people with disabilities define. So we trademarked the term, and we've made the decision on how we want to use Affinity Choice community within the disabilities population.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, you're helping others across the country build more places like NOAA Homes?
We are. We're engaged in kind of a national housing alliance that's been very loosely formed between ourselves and our organization in Texas and some very big philanthropers that want to do some good, but they don't want to do it with the government. They want to do it with private nonprofit partnerships. So it's been a pretty exciting 6 months. We've had some very well-heeled people that said, if you can show us a model that's scalable and that is something that will be sustainable, we're going to help you build it. And so Brookfield Homes are national residential builder who helped us build our memory care homes virtually free of charge on their part, have reengaged and said, we're here for you, what can we do? So we're actually meeting with them on a regular basis to see what the next design is going to look like. And our goal is we hope to build a 300 to 400 unit apartment type model that'll be an inclusive community with supports built in so that people can, again, live there independently but have supports built in to be successful and to know somebody's there to kind of look out for them if they need help.
So you still have more land that you can build on over there?
We don't, but other people have volunteered to donate land.
Oh, okay.
And so we're working with them to help them develop what that model looks like, and it might be another NOAA-type model as we kind of move through this process.
Now, you mentioned, and we did talk about this before when you were on the show, your memory care homes that you were building, I believe, at the time when you were on the show last.
We were, and that was in 2015 and 16, and that happened as a result of my brother walking through Alzheimer's at NOAA Homes, and I was fortunate that he was only gone for NOAA about 9 days. Didn't know he's gone, so didn't know he had to leave his home. But others were not as fortunate, and some had to leave and be in nursing homes and places that had no idea how to care for them for months at a time. And we just couldn't tolerate that anymore. We said it couldn't happen. So we went to the state, and with the help of San Diego Regional Center, we built the first two of their kind in the state and almost in the country, memory care homes that are specifically for people with disabilities dealing with dementia and Alzheimer's. They opened in 2016. And we are into our third year now, and we are 100% full with an unfortunate waiting list there as well. But we have now had some movement in other regional centers that are looking to do a similar thing. So now we're taking that pilot program that we've created and our content for helping to staff it and take it to other parts of the state to get some more models built. So we're getting some traction on it. We're excited about it.
And the staff-to-resident ratio in these homes is different than your other homes, right?
It's very different. The other homes could be 1 staff to 6 residents. It could be 1 to 3. In these homes, it's routinely 1 to 2, 1 to 3, sometimes 1 to 1 based on what they need. And what we really found with this population, you don't need to drug them. You don't need a bunch of doctors and nurses. You need to give them time. You need to give them an hour to eat their breakfast. You need to give them an hour to wake up sometimes. And you just need to give them that time to be independent and have their dignity. And our goal was to let them stay in their homes and pass peacefully if that's what they chose. And the homes have now been open. We're into our third year. 7 residents have passed very peacefully with their family and friends near them, in a very dignified and frankly wonderful way of knowing they're with us. They weren't sent away. And that's our goal. Let them be in their homes.
How are the residents for these homes selected? Are they already residents at NOAA Homes and one of the other homes?
Some were. When we first opened, the 20 beds, we took the first 13 because our residents needed those beds. And so we moved them from the homes they were in to this level of home care, which was right next door to their existing home, so all their friends were still there. And then 7 new people came in from the community, and now we've brought quite a few more in from the community. So we are doing our best to take as many as we can, but I think probably 60% are from NOAA Homes right now.
Another thing that you've developed at NOAA Homes, and this is fairly recently, if I'm not mistaken, your dementia escape room. Tell us about that.
Dementia escape room is this really cool concept that I got to play with, and it actually developed because we were struggling to have our staff understand what somebody with disabilities is dealing with when they go into Alzheimer's. Unlike you and I, if we go to a doctor and they said, Gary, you've developed Alzheimer's, you understand what it is, you understand what the journey is, and you know what's happening. But when I told my brother he had Alzheimer's, he just looked at me with a blank stare, had no idea what I was saying, and just said, what are we doing for lunch? So we really had to understand how to join their journey. We had to get our staff to understand they don't get it. They don't understand why they can't remember their sister's name. They don't understand why they don't know that it's morning and they should eat. So we needed a way to show them that. So we introduced a virtual reality room where we engaged them with things on their hands. We put sunglasses on that blurred their vision. We did some very basic things, but it taught them to understand that for 7 minutes, you're in their shoes, and it's a pretty horrible 7 minutes. I went through it myself, and if I'd known, I would have been, frankly, a much more patient sister with my brother, because there's some horrible things that they just don't understand that they're going through, and they don't get it. So we've now developed it into a full-on course for our staff. So to be in those dementia homes, you have to take the course. And we actually provide up almost 40 hours of training for people before they step in the door so they understand what's going on. But it's been so successful that we've now gone to the general public with it. We're going to be teaching all the caseworkers at San Diego Regional Center to understand who they're helping,
That's
which is
great.
Awesome. And some of the business leaders in the chambers have said, gosh, business owners need to understand what happens when a child with autism comes in or what happens when a person with dementia comes in. They should take the course. So it's spreading. It's doing some great stuff, and we're really excited about it. And it's becoming more and more sophisticated. We have iPads. We have cordless headphones that you're wearing that has some pretty awful noise that people routinely hear. We're obscuring your vision. We're making it uncomfortable to walk. you're getting all the things people with Alzheimer's that are dealing with neuropathy and nerve ending problems and vision. The fact your vision goes away and you can't hear. So lots of things, unfortunately, are happening to them that we don't understand.
So if somebody listening this morning, somebody from a business or a caretaker, how would they get involved with this course or this room?
They can go to our website at noahhomes.org. There's an info@noahhomes.org. And they can leave a message for us, and we'd be happy to get back to them and let them know. We would love to take it out to the community and bring it to more people because it's an amazing course, and we can handle up to 20 people at a time. It's about a two-hour course that we put together.
Now, when you were on the show several years ago, we did talk a little bit about Alzheimer's and dementia and what you guys do at Noah Homes, but it seems to be a much bigger part of what you're doing there now. Is this because the need for care of these individuals is increasing, or is it because there's not enough places for them?
Combination of both. And what is interesting is I have no background in any kind of medicine. As you watch these folks in their final stages of Alzheimer's at their homes, you see things like the fact that our folks go through it a lot faster than we do. Their time of end stages of dementia is less than 6 months. They don't wander like the general population does. They really become very docile, and once their confusion ends and they start being in the end stage, they just need care. They need love, they need attention, they need holding. And we've recognized that there's a very peaceful way to let them end their life with dignity, and that we've been explaining that to others is not that hard to do. The other piece that's phenomenal is that the Alzheimer's research has shown that there's a direct relationship to that 21st chromosome that causes that Down syndrome mutation. And some researchers, as long as 30 years ago, said that Alzheimer's is really the Down syndrome of our generation, so that they're really walking step by step. Dr. Raffi at UCSD and USC's joint chair is doing research with the National Institute of Health, as is the Sanford Burnham Prebys Institute. And they're looking at Noah Homes and others in the community to help them find people that would participate in their studies. There's a very good chance that people with Down syndrome are going to help us cure Alzheimer's. And in that population, they are six times more likely to get Alzheimer's than you and I are. And that once they reach the age of 50, about 50% of those folks with Down syndrome have Alzheimer's. So something's going on there, and they're getting closer to understanding what that is, but they need our help, and they need our residents' help to help make that happen quicker. So we're pretty excited that we're here in a mecca of a city that has that kind of access to academia and to research, and that we can be a part of that. So we're going to be there, and we're going to make sure that our residents get access to those medications and drugs firsthand.
Now we have a few minutes left. You do fundraising events. I've been to a couple of them. Anything coming up in the near future we should know about?
Just so happens we do some amazing fundraising events. June 22nd, we have an amazing Summerfest event. It's called the British Invasion. Great time to get to know our residents. It is a private event, but if you'll give us a call at Noah Homes, we can set you up to get on the list for that, and we can send you an invitation. It's a great time to get to meet our residents because they're all there. They're helping. They're having dinner with us. So it's a wonderful time to get to understand who we serve and who those folks are. And we just created, just this past year, past Christmas, the Enchanted Village. And the Enchanted Village was 2 weekends at Noah Homes right before Christmas, where you got to see us all lit up with beautiful Christmas trees that the general public and businesses helped us create and support. And we put our residents to work. So 4 of our residents went to work for us and helped us run the Enchanted Village. This year we hope that we'll employ hopefully double that so that they can make some more money for Christmas and get their own Christmas presents. And we need tons of volunteers. It took about 50 volunteers a night to run that event. And it was a festival of trees and lights. Lights were everywhere. Hot chocolate. Santa was there. Music was there. So another amazing event that'll run the 2 weekends before Christmas in December. And a phenomenal way to get involved and volunteer at Noah Homes.
I definitely recommend that one.
Thank you. It was kind of my little brainchild. Took me about 5 years to have the guts to put it together. But once we launched it, we were pretty excited about it.
It was very cool.
Thank you very much.
I enjoyed it. Now, if somebody wants to help you with your mission, aside from attending a fundraising event, can they make a donation at your website?
They can make a donation at our website. We would love you to do that. It's noahhomes.org. You can make a donation. You can also do things like remember us in your estate and remember us in your planning for people with disabilities. I think that affects almost all of us out there. Somebody knows somebody with a disability in San Diego. It's a pretty prevalent thing.
And you did mention volunteers, at least for the Enchanted Village. You need a lot of volunteers for that. What about other volunteer opportunities?
We are a volunteer mecca at Noah Homes, and we love you to come. And there's karaoke, there's big animal parties, there's arts and crafts. Noah's an easy place for a party. If you bring some Diet Pepsi and some popcorn, you've got a party with a video. So it's not hard to do. We've also got 11 beautiful acres of landscape property that we need to keep in place. And if you have a gardening hand, we'd love to have you. And if you're a creative person, we'd love to have you. We'd love to have you, period. So come on our website, see the opportunities, even coming in and reading to our folks, being one of their buddies. So lots of things to do. Never a dull moment. If you can't find something to do, you're not trying. So we'd love to have you.
Well, volunteers are a big part of nonprofits everywhere. And a dedicated staff, also very important, and I know you've got that there as well.
Dedicated staff is something we treasure. We have about 130 staff, and we fight the minimum wage every single day. But we have a culture at NOAA that we treasure our staff, and we want them to be totally engaged and involved in what happens at NOAA. And to do that, you need to know our culture and know who we are and love our folks. So you either have a heart for it or you don't, and the people that are there have been there. We have staff that have been there over 25 years, so they've got the heart, and they've got the soul, and we love the folks we serve. And that's all you need to have to come to us.
And if somebody wants to make a monetary donation, but they want to see what you're doing out there first before they do that, can they come out for a tour?
They can come out and see me. Please come out. We'd love to tour. The more we tour, the more you understand who we are and the more you understand the choices that we give people with disabilities. So please come. Again, you can go to noahomes.org and let us know you want to come take a tour. Give me a call. Our number's on the website as well. And give me a call, and I'd be happy to set up a tour for you to see the wonderful people we serve.
And are you on social media?
We are all over social media. Couldn't even tell you all of it because I have great staff that do that. But Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, you name it, we're there. And we actually have some residents who love to post stuff, too. So you get a feeling what the residents are doing, too.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Awesome.
All right, Molly, a pleasure seeing you again. Great having you on the show again. I appreciate you coming out. And thanks for all you do in the community at NOAA Homes. It's appreciated.
Carrie, thank you so much. Just getting the word out there that we're here is a wonderful thing for us. So NOAA Homes appreciates all you've done for us as well. And we look forward to seeing you at our events.
I'll be there.
Thank you.
That concludes another edition of Living Better in San Diego. The opinions expressed on Living Better in San Diego do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff and management of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. Episodes of Living Better in San Diego are available on this station's website. Join me next week when my guest will be from Home Start. Until then, I'm Gary Lee. Have a great week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.